destroyed, or it is the time of redemption when I will have awoken from my sleep. Hashem sustains me always. He answers me whenever I turn to Him in prayer. In another interpretation, David recalls the events surrounding Absalom's conspiracy. That night, when I had already lain down, I was even asleep. Hushi the Archite sent me a warning. Lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but pass over quickly, lest the king be swallowed up. Pasuk that's found in Shmuel Beis. For Hashem sustains me, and He decreed that the good counsel of Achitophel be set aside. A subtle reading of the pasuk related to other information about King David. The Talmud says that David had a harp which would rouse him from his sleep at midnight. He did not have his harp during the time he was fleeing from Absalom, so he aroused himself. I woke. How? For Hashem sustains me. He woke me in time to compose this psalm under the influence of the Holy Spirit that rested upon me. Generally, whenever any psalm begins with the words Mizmor to David, as it does here, it means that the Holy Spirit had first rested upon him. According to the Medrash, David says, I have lain down, rested from prophecy, and I slept, lacked the Holy Spirit, but I woke at the hand of Hushai the Archite. Hashem sustains me through the prophet Nosson. From the moment I go to my couch to sleep and until I wake, my constant thought is that Hashem sustains me. I woke, for Hashem sustains me. The moment I wake up from my sleep, I offer thanks to Hashem for having returned my soul to me. The Torah teaches that coming awake is not merely a matter of nature, but happens by the grace of Hashem. Thus we pray in the evening, O Hashem our God, lay us down in peace, our King. Raise us up to a good life and to peace. Upon rising in the morning we say, Moda ani lefanechom, melechai v'kayim shechizarto b'nishmasi b'chem lo rabom nusecho. I offer thanks to you, living and eternal King, for you have mercifully restored my soul with me. Great is your faithfulness. A person is thus reminded that Hashem stands over him. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Lo ira merivivos om asher saviv shosu aloi. I do not fear the tens of thousands of people that have set themselves against me round about. Except for the few who stayed with David or who joined him later, the people all followed Absalom. But I do not fear the tens of thousands of people. David says, I do not fear all those that have set themselves against me round about to fight me. I sleep unperturbed. Against me round about, they may strike at what surrounds me, that is the essential, but they cannot harm my soul. Pasuk Ches. Kuma Hashem Hoshi'eni Elahai Ki Yikises Kol Oyvai Lechi Shnei Rishorim Shibarto. Arise, O Hashem, save me, my God, for you have smitten all my enemies upon the cheek. You have broken the teeth of the wicked. King David turns to God with a plea to save him in three ways. Via the attribute of mercy, hence arise, O Hashem. The name Hashem corresponds to the attribute of mercy. Because you are my God, whom I serve, hence save me, my God. And because the pattern has already been established, that Hashem help him, hence, for you have smitten all my enemies upon the cheek many times in the past. The image of striking the cheek conveys that Hashem administered humiliating blows to David's adversaries. David goes on to say in the next pasuk, deliverance is Hashem's. When Hashem will save me, heaven forbid that I should then proclaim, my own arm has brought about my deliverance. His is the deliverance, and our thanks are due to Him. However, your blessing be upon your people. Let your deliverance reach those who walk with me, not Absalom's people. Deliverance is the Hashem's. Divine law dictates that Hashem brings about deliverance, but your blessing is upon your people forever. It is a law which is incumbent upon us to praise and bless Hashem. May you fully put into effect the law that is incumbent upon you, and we will fulfill to perfection the law that is incumbent upon us. You have smitten all my enemies upon the cheek. This refers to Achitophel, who was the only one whom David feared. He was punished upon the cheek by hanging himself, a pasuk that's found in Shemuel Beis. You have broken the teeth of the wicked, which refers to those who conspire to devour him with their teeth. The Medrash says, to what can this be compared? Two people, one wicked and one righteous, were traveling together. They came to an inn and entered to partake of some food. The wicked man devoured great quantities of meat and fish, then said to the other, let us eat and not pay. The innkeeper will not know. The tzaddik only ate some lentils. At the end of his meal he recited grace, paid and left in peace. The wicked man came to blows with the innkeeper, who broke his teeth. The meaning of this parable is clear. The wicked of this world say, how did God know? But the righteous man says, lo, O Lord, you know it all. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. LaHashem HaYeshua Al Amcha B'Chasecha Selah. Deliverance is Hashem's, your blessing is upon your people, Selah. King David prayed on behalf of his men who were there to help him against Absalom. Accordingly, the verse may be rendered, deliverance is Hashem's upon your people, your blessing forever. May deliverance be upon the people who are helping me, not upon those who are helping Absalom. May your blessing be upon them forever. That is, not a single one of them should fall in battle. An alternate reading associates Al Amcha upon your people with the second half of the pasuk. That is to say, deliverance is Hashem's. Deliverance is in the hand of Hashem, and He knows how to bring it about. But your blessing is upon your people forever. Man's sole task is to bless Hashem. It is not for him to ask for deliverance in some definite way. For the person who prays for some specific thing of his own makes it appear as if he calls into question Hashem's knowledge and power. He seems to be saying that no other ways to help him are open before Hashem. Although the divine presence is exiled to all the places where the Jewish people are exiled, deliverance is Hashem's. Deliverance is the Hashem's, even though the Shekhinah is in exile. Then too, your blessings upon your people forever. The Jewish people acknowledge that deliverance is Hashem's every time, and they bless Him for His help. When Hashem brings us salvation and your blessings upon your people forever, then Hashem Himself is saved, as it were. For the peoples of the world behold the wonders that He performs for the Jewish people, and they acknowledge Hashem's existence and providential order. When deliverance is Hashem's, the deliverance is forever. Selah. There is no longer any kind of subjugation. It is otherwise when help comes at the end, the hand of flesh and blood. Only your blessing is Selah forever. Hashem alone knows when deliverance is for the good. Not so the man who asks for deliverance. Accordingly, your blessing is upon your people. Men should offer a blessing to Hashem for what appears as the bad, just as they bless Him for the good. The expression Selah means forever. Thus Targum Yonason renders the pasuk in Habakkuk, Mahar Poron Selah, as from Mount Poron, forever. Mahar Poron Selah. Chapter 4, Pasuk 1. Lanatzayach ben Ginos Mizmor LeDavid, for the conductor with instrumental music, Psalm of David. The Medrash says that the present psalm was expressed in three forms of praise: by orchestration, Nitzuach by instrumental music, Nigun, and by song, Mizmor. With instrumental music, Ben Ginos pertains to the prophetic faculty, as it says, and it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of Hashem came upon him, a pasuk found in the Melachim Beis. For the conductor, Lamtzeach, pertains to him who is eternal, Lo Netzach. God's orchestration is eternally everlasting. The Radak writes, it seems that Menatzeach, conductor, was the one in charge of the singers, and all the psalms were recited and chanted as directed by the conductor. There was also a conductor in charge of the musical instruments called Neginot, and a conductor for the instruments called Sheminis. The songs were chanted in unison with the playing of instruments, such that every instrument was related to a different soul-lifting melody. The different musical instruments used in the Beis Hamikdash included the lyre, the harp, cymbals, the ram's horns, and the trumpets. There was also many different kinds of melodies: alamos, neginot, maskil, michtam, shigoyot, dechilot, shigiyonos, and gitis. In addition, there are many varieties of the instrument called asor. It is not known whether or not the musicians who played the instruments were also the ones who sang it. For the conductor with instrumental music, it is usually necessary to activate the Holy Spirit in oneself by means of music. But David would become aroused on his own, as the Holy Spirit rested upon him from the beginning. Hence the Psalm of David, which conveys that first came the inspiration for the Psalm. The reason is that he was always in the state of trustful cleaving to Hashem, so that no element of sadness entered his heart. As he goes on to say, "For you, Hashem alone, make me dwell in security." Although he was always engulfed by troubles and surrounded by the vindictiveness of his enemies, he strove to rise above despair and to rejoice in the Shekhinah, in the Divine Presence. So he was worthy to have the Divine Presence rest upon him. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Bikori aneni Elohei Tzidki Batzor Hirachavto Li Choneni Ushma Tevilasi. Answer me when I call, O Hashem of my righteousness. You have set me free in distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. When I call, you have set me free in distress. When in the past I was in distress, you set me free. I ask for the same thing in the future. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. When one man benefits another, it is unbecoming for the benefactor to then turn about and wrong his beneficiary. And David says similarly, O Hashem, you have dealt me the measure of your beneficence. So be merciful and hear my prayer. Because you are God of my righteousness, you have always vindicated me in the past and set me free in distress. Today too, extend your loving kindness to me, have mercy and hear my prayer. In another sense, there is the implication that when a man examines his troubles, he will find that thereby Hashem has set him free and done him a kindness. Accordingly, David says, I am in distress of suffering, and thereby you have eased me by lessening my guilt. However, I ask nevertheless, have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Do so for your sake, lest your name be profaned, for the people will say that the righteous suffer without cause. They will declare, is this then the Torah, and is this how its faithful are rewarded? According to the Talmud, David says to Hashem, Master of the world, you set me free from every affliction that I brought upon myself. When I was in trouble on account of Bathsheba, you gave me my son Solomon, Shlomo, and I concerned myself with the troubles that afflict the Jewish people, and you granted me the right to start building the Beis Hamikdash. Another interpretation says that David here acknowledges Hashem's help in saving him from the intrigues of Achitophel. You have set me free in distress. When Achitophel counseled Absalom to prepare an ambush for me, his plan was foiled by Hushai the Archite. As it says there in Shmuel, Hashem ordained to foil the good counsel of Achitophel. Therefore now as well, answer me and hear my prayer. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Answer my prayers also after my present deliverance. King David knows that Hashem answers his prayer forthwith. It might be regarded by the people as a sign that they are to praise him instead of praising Hashem. Thus we find that when Shmuel proclaimed a fast and immediately rains came down, the people credited their own righteousness in having fasted. Whereupon he told them, compare it to a slave who asked his master for a reward, and the master said, give him what he wants so that I will not have to listen to his voice. Nevertheless, hear my prayer at once, David says. According to the Medrash, David said, O Hashem, you must vindicate my righteousness, for I am from the tribe of Yehuda, as it says, hear, O Hashem, the voice of Yehuda, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim, pasuk Gimel, pasuk 3. B'nei ish ad me'ach avodi l'chlimo te'ahavun rik t'vakshu chazav selah. O sons of men, how long will my glory be put to shame? Will you love vanity and seek deception, selah? King David turns upon his enemies with words of angry admonition for trying to harm and humiliate him. He presents three arguments. One, cease because you are all sons of men, and it does not befit men of good will to shame other men. Two, how long will my honor be put to shame? It is unbecoming to reap honor by dishonoring another person. Three, how long would you love vanity? Your cause is lost. Your striving against me is futile. So why do you persevere in vain? You are mortal sons of men. How do you presume to shame me, the one for whom Hashem rises to save? As we learned earlier in chapter 3, my afflictions are my badge of honor and my glory, and you proclaim them to be my shame. How little you understand, how lacking in wisdom you are. You speak as if you were an angelic beings, but you are merely sons of men. Some explain that David addresses Absalom's men. Sons of men, how long will my honor be put to shame? How long will you love vanity and seek deception? This teaches us that when we turn to Hashem in prayer and cast our burdens upon Hashem, that He sustains us, we must at the same time try to deal with men. Although it is of the Hashem that a man's goings are established, He wants that man conduct himself in the ways of man. Accordingly, here too, even as David has turned to Hashem, he now turns to the sons of men with rebuke and a challenge. How long will my honor be put to shame? Will you love vanity and seek deception? Another interpretation says that David is speaking out against those who betrayed him to King Saul and who spread baseless rumors about him. How long will you love futile things and seek deception? Seek deception? David complains of his enemies that they never mention his qualities of excellence. They believe only the very worst and every falsehood about him. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Uzu ki hiflo Hashem chasidlo Hashem yishma bekori elov. But know that Hashem has set apart the pious ones for Himself. Hashem will hear when I call to Him. King David continues to address his enemies. But know that Hashem has set apart the pious ones for Himself. He has separated him and has made him known who is his pious one. That is, it is David himself. And therefore Hashem will hear when I call to him. Why do you proclaim that I am not qualified for kingship? Has not Hashem himself set me apart when he sent Shmuel to anoint me? Why then do you persecute and pursue me? Your efforts are in vain, for Hashem will hear when I call to him. Hashem has set apart the pious one for himself. David tells his enemies, God has afflicted me with suffering in order to cleanse me and thus render me worthy of being among the pious that are free of sin. So it is not as you proclaim it to be, that there is no deliverance for him in Hashem. On the contrary, Hashem will hear when I call to him. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. Rigzu v'altechetou imru v'vavchem abishkavchem b'domu selam. Tremble and sin no more. Say this within your heart upon your bed and be still. Tremble, my enemies, David shouts, tremble before Hashem and sin no more. Say within your hearts that Hashem has given you warning upon your bed at night when you lie upon your couches. Say this within your heart, that you will no longer speak deception against anyone. This will change you. You will then learn to be silent. You will no longer speak deception. Tremble, be anguished over your sins of the past, and sin no more in the future, for you sinned by having slandered and shamed me. Some commentators explain that David HaMelech confronts those who vilified him on account of the sin of having taken Bathsheba. Tremble with fear and sin no more with your evil talk against me. Say this within your heart upon your bed and be still forever. That is, attend to the sins that you yourself have committed on your couches, and you will then cease your invective against me. Then again, the scripture addresses a moral admonition to men generally. At all times be in a rage to battle your evil natures by intellectual effort and by changing your conduct. This must be a sustained war that never ceases, for a one-time struggle is not enough. As our sages teach, always let a man enrage his good nature against his evil nature. If one has not vanquished it, and the passions urge him to cast off the yoke of heaven, let him recite Shema. And if that's not enough to gain victory, let him recall the day of death. Thus, David says here, say this within your heart, ponder deeply the teachings of the Torah upon your bed, in allusion to the Shema that is recited before falling asleep at night, a time of quiet contemplation and understanding, and be still forever, in allusion to the day of death. Believe in the survival of the soul and do not ask questions. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Zivchu zivchei tzedek uvitchu el Hashem. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in Hashem. King David now addresses his enemies who sided with King Saul. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Do not imagine that you can justify your deeds, that they will be reckoned to your credit as if you had brought offerings to Hashem. Nor can you put your trust in Hashem, that He will reward you for your efforts with great bounty. Not so. Tremble and sin no more, for the great reward you expect from Saul. Another interpretation says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Break your arrogant hearts with humility. Thus it says, the sacrifices of Hashem are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O Hashem, you will not despise. Do not look forward to honors from King Saul, but put your trust in Hashem. He will grant your heart's desire without Saul. Then again, he says, do not imagine that you can offer the sacrifices of righteousness, that your offerings will atone for your sins. Do not imagine that you can say, let us sin and then bring the sacrifice. For the true offering is righteousness, justice, and truth. Put your trust in Hashem, and do not place your trust in man. For they that seek Hashem do not lack any good thing. After a man has repented, he goes on to offer the sacrifices of righteousness for his past sins. The scripture stresses sacrifices of righteousness that follow repentance in contrast to a sacrifice of abomination, as found in Sefer Mishlei, which the wicked man brings at the same time that he persists in his rebellion against Hashem. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness to atone for your evil intrigues against me. Cease your reviling. Because you wrong a man of righteousness, this will oblige you to bring obligatory sacrifices. Repent now, and instead of offering sacrifices the evil intention of your hearts, you will bring gift offerings, sacrifices of righteousness. Your evil schemes stem from your lack of trust in Hashem, and because you do not believe in the world, the souls, and the hereafter, you would not otherwise be so certain that my troubles come as punishment for my sins. You would not be astonished at my suffering, but understand that Hashem is purifying me so that I should be worthy of attaining life in the world to come. So repent for your lack of faith. Put your trust in Hashem. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in Hashem. To what can this be compared? A man traveling by ship was bringing home with him many kinds of merchandise and also sacred books. Suddenly a great sea storm struck and everyone began to throw their possessions overboard into the raging waters. The man also threw his merchandise overboard. Better that you throw the books into the sea, said the people around him. But he replied, so long as I have my books, I can study and pray. Perhaps God will heed the voice of my prayers and cause the sea to cease its raging. But by means of the merchandise, I cannot save the ship. This parable illustrates David's words of admonition to his enemies. The hour of your doom is approaching, yet you slander me. Cease your invective and your attempts to humiliate me. Instead, offer sacrifices of righteousness and you'll assuredly be saved. The Targum says, offer sacrifices of righteousness, restrain your passions, and it will be reckoned in your favor as if you had offered sacrifices of righteousness. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Rabim omrim miyareinu tov neso aleinu or penecha Hashem. Many say, oh, that we would be shown the good. Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Hashem. King David continues to speak of those whom he has called sons of men and who proclaim that there is no deliverance for him in God. Many say in their rebelliousness and fierce desire for the success of Absalom's revolt, they say, oh, that we would be shown the good. How wonderful it will be to bring about David's downfall and death and see him succeeded by his son. Let it not be as they desire. May you lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Hashem. In a different context, this pasuk says, many say, oh, that we would be shown the good. They lust for the good things of this world. But we yearn for the divine light. We proclaim, turn upon us the light of your countenance, O Hashem. Similarly, the scripture says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. Many the nations of the world say to the Jewish people, oh, that we would be shown the good. If only we could partake of the good in the world to come together with Israel. But the Jewish people tell them, how many afflictions, and how many subjugations, and how many murders, deaths have we suffered, and here you come to partake of the essence and to diminish our reward also in the world to come? Then again, David HaMelech says, many of our own people see the wealth and peaceful life of the nations and they cry out, oh, that we would be shown the good, the riches and pleasures that they enjoy. Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Hashem. But I am not envious of them. You have put gladness in my heart when I see their grain and their wine increase. As we'll see in the next pasuk. For I say, if those who transgress his will have it so good, it is certainly so for those who do his will. Why do so many continue to complain about what they lack? It is because they lack the light of Hashem. So I ask, lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Hashem, then they will realize that everything is good. When David found himself exiled from Yerushalayim, he said, what causes the people in exile to say that there is no deliverance for him in God ever? For they are envious of others whom they see enjoying the good things of this world, and they want to be like them. Many say this, but I do not say this. My desire and my striving is that you lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Hashem. Merely grant us at this time too a little of that light which you have promised us for the future. Pasuk 8. You have put gladness in my heart since when their grain and their wine increase. There are many righteous people whose merit the whole world is nourished, but they are poor. Some of them say, oh, that we would be shown the good. Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Hashem. Grant us also some of the good in this world. We do not want you to nourish only the rest of the world as under our account. But David says differently, you have put gladness in my heart since when their grain and their wine increase on my account. Though all the world be glad when I'm in pain, I am serene and joyful, for my reward is secured for me in the world to come. Similarly, David proclaims the difference between himself and his enemies. They say, oh, that we will be shown the good, we and not others. Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Hashem, upon us, but not upon others. I am different. You have put gladness in my heart since when their grain and their wine increase. My enemies are unhappy at the well-being of others, but I am not like them. The present verse is a direct continuation of the previous verse, also the following thought. True, everything that Hashem does is for the good. That many say, oh, that we would be shown the good. We want to behold the good with our own eyes. Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Hashem, enlighten us. Similarly, the scripture says in the Torah, may Hashem shine the light of His countenance upon you. Pasuk that's found in the Chumash Bamidbar. Accordingly, David goes on to say here, when you fulfilled their entreaty and their grain and their wine increase, I too will be gladdened because Hashem's name is then sanctified. Many live in a state of unrelieved despondency, weighed down by a perpetual sense of having been deprived. We will continue, Mitzvah Hashem, in our next shir. You have